You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Right now, use promo code SPORTS20. That's promo code SPORTS20 to get a free $20 bet at PlayAlberta.ca.
Tommy, I have to think, last night, fans should have been fired up. That's one of the most emotionally charged regular season games in Edmonton in quite some time. That was the loudest the Billings been all year, from my perspective.
No, I think you're right. I would second that wholeheartedly. It was a game that had everything. It really did, and I enjoyed it thoroughly. I liked the fights at the end of the periods, at the beginning of periods. I thought that was a good message that the Oilers sent back to the Lightning. Maroon and Perry did what they needed to do to get their teams going, and that was take cheap shots at Oilers stars. And so that element and the way the Oilers kind of bit back was kind of nice. It was refreshing. And then, you know, this is a good Tampa team. Tampa was clicking coming into the game. Edmonton obviously was clicking too. And when the Lightning woke up and when the Lightning cut the lead in half a couple times and then finally tied it up, the Oilers didn't fold. They didn't wilt away and die. They came right back and scored a goal that I thought would get reviewed and ultimately wasn't, but McDavid's goal holds up. And then they had a really strong third period. So there's so many elements of that game that I think the fan base appreciated and liked. I know I certainly looked at what the Oilers did, and we were watching up in the press box last night, and we're like, huh, okay, look at them, up to the task. That was a good win. That's a statement win on top of two other performances before that were really good, and you can't forget how this streak started with the two wins in California. It culminated last night, Greggs, a job well done, and it checked off a lot of boxes in oil country for sure, and the people were enjoying it down at the Ice House absolutely afterward.
And not only are the Oilers winning, they couldn't have asked really for a better week when you consider the out-of-town scoreboard. The Oilers last Friday were 9 points behind Vegas. They wake up today, they're three back. Seattle and Vegas each have 58 points. L.A. 56, Edmonton 55. Now, Seattle has two games in hand, and Vegas has one. But the Oilers have won five in a row. Vegas has lost three in a row. Mark Stone is injured. Martinez is injured. Their goaltending numbers, Thompson now for the last 2 months, is under 900. You know, they're a team you can catch. I'm not sold on Seattle as a dominant team. I think Edmonton can beat them. And L.A. is, you know, all of a sudden Copley now, his numbers are going down, and you wonder, do they have anybody who can play goal in L.A.? So, you know, with the fact that they've won five in a row, now they have an eight-game, three before the All-Star break, five after, where they face all teams in the bottom 10. The Oilers are 7-2 this season against bottom 10 teams. Both those losses, by the way, though, against the Canucks, who they face on Saturday. Like, this, everything sets up well. And Edmonton, what I liked last night, Tommy, was they came out firing. They got the lead. And then Tampa really dominated the second, but the Oilers didn't cave against a team that knows how to win. And I thought Edmonton really controlled that third period. Obviously, McDavid did what McDavid does and scored a great goal, but they didn't give up much again in the third period.
No, I think the stat was, I think it was just four shots for the Lightning till really late in the third when they try to pour it on. Ended up being 10-8 in shots in that third period. And the Oilers, I didn't feel like they gave a ton of glaring opportunities to Tampa. Tampa created some great chances, and Edmonton did get caught on a few. One was a turnover. I mean, and that's going back to the second period anyway, but that third period they did lock it down. Bend not break mentality, and did a good job in front of Jack Campbell. And then when Jack Campbell did have to rise to the occasion, he did. So that's him riding the momentum. So a lot of areas that we've discussed, you know, in the first, 46 games, 47 games, that were areas of concern, like, they had an answer for last night. So when we heard players talk about, we like what we're doing defensively, it's coming around. Greggs, you've talked about it with Strutty, you've talked about it in your articles, the 5-on-5 plays being backed up, the solid 5-on-5 plays being backed up with the numbers now. It's culminating in this. So I think that third period was probably a really good example of where this team is at and how it's worked to improve itself. And now they're starting to see those results. So that's a win that you could kind of brush your shoulders off and go, yep, we're doing it. And again, you're piling it up against three good teams here, those wins. You're getting wins against Pacific Division opponents. You've won some four-point games. And now, like you said, and we've talked about the difficulty of the schedule in the first half of the season, here's an opportunity to make some hay. And it's still a tight Pacific. 7 points separate fifth from first. But the Oilers can look at this and say, you know what? Maybe we can take a run at the top of the standings in the Pacific. It's there. It's there. And it's going to be a fun ending to the season, but a great opportunity for this team.
Well, the biggest difference for the Edmonton Oilers, and I've said it all year long, once Edmonton lowers their goals against, they're going to win because their offense wasn't going to dry up. And
right.
People still keep kind of, well, they need to trade for a winger. No. If anything, they still need to add a defenseman. As solid as their D has been, and that's great, I still think that's an area. You know, you've got three really young defensemen mixed
yes.
in and out of the seven. They're getting great experience. It's awesome. But in an ideal world, I think I'd still like to add in a veteran D if possible. But the Oilers, since Christmas, are tied for sixth in lowest goals against per game at 2.67. And they sit first in goals per game at four. So you're first in goals per game, you're sixth in goals against. Of course, you're winning games. And their penalty kill, despite that awful performance against L.A., is still 82.1%, which puts them 14th. And, you know, if you can run around 82, 83 in today's NHL for long stretches of time, you'll be fine. So they're showing some signs. And Jack Campbell, you know what? Jack Campbell made two really good saves last night. Again, Tom, the one thing I've noticed from Campbell in each of his six consecutive wins is he's made one save that he never would have made in the first few months of the season. He's looked really consistent for Edmonton lately.
100% he has. One thing I'm curious to know your thoughts on, because it keeps popping up from time to time over this little stretch here. Let's say the last 5 days or so. It's the emergence of those three, let's call them inexperienced or lesser experienced defensemen. And, you know, a few people are wondering, does that change the Oilers' outlook on how they attack the deadline or the roster and how they want to improve it? I don't think so. I still think that the focus would be on getting and bolstering the defense with a veteran left side guy. What those three in Desharnais, Bouchard, and Broberg are doing right now is excellent, but I don't think that that has altered the plan of the team. And it has been a kind of a small sample size on the grand scale of things. I think, Greg's, that is the case. I'm assuming you feel the same way, but I'm curious to know if you've been fielding those questions and what you think on that.
It has, and I think it's a fair question. Right, it's probably too small of a sample size yet to say anything significant. The coach, all you have to do is dig into the numbers on Broberg and Bouchard. They've been very good, but they've also been very insulated properly.
Yep.
Go look at Broberg. He's played 11% of his minutes courtesy of Puck IQ against elite players. Look at last night. Majority of their minutes against the third and fourth lines of Tampa. And that's fine. That's what you should do. But I also think it's a reminder of people who are like, oh, they got to play more and move up the ladder. I'm like, are you sure? Have them keep excelling and playing well. And they get sprinkles here there because you can never play a whole game when you only have, you know, a few defense pairs where they're never going to have the other team's top lines, right?
Right.
Sometimes it'll be an icing call and a lineup change, and you're out there for the icing, and now the other team puts their best line out, right? That's going to happen, especially whether it's home or on the road, right? Because you can't change on the icings even at home, so for the defensive team. So that's going to happen sometimes, but for the most part, they've been able to shelter them in the fashion that they want, specifically Broberg and Bouchard, and I think that makes sense. But I don't know if Edmonton, we all thought they needed a top four defenseman. Mm-hmm. Right now, Philip Broberg is not playing top 4 minutes. So I don't think that the emergence of the young guys has necessarily solved the problem or the need of a top four defenseman.
Yeah. If anything, maybe buys them a little time, right? No urgency to force themselves into a move just yet. Maybe they can wait it out a little bit. Maybe when teams start to drop off out of the playoff picture, other players become available. So a good component of this that it maybe gives Ken Holland and the hockey ops some breathing room and some time to take another look or do more of a deep dive on some players that you might have thought that weren't available that become available. So it's a good thing all around, though.
Tommy, who do you like in the NFL this weekend?
Let's go. I don't know if we're going to see any crazy games where guys miss four convert attempts like former CFLer Brett Maher did. Let's take a look here. We got Jacksonville, Casey. Casey, come on. Of course they're going to beat Jacksonville. And then I will go with Strutty's boys, the Giants, the New York football Giants over Philly. I'll say that's the upset. And then the Buffalo-Cincy game is going to be a good one. I think Buffalo, man, you know, that's going to be an interesting emotional game after the DeMar Hamlin situation a few weeks ago. I think Buffalo uses that as motivation, so I'll go with the Bills there. And then let's go with the Cowboys. Let's go with the Cowboys in the other one.
All right. Tommy, have yourself a wonderful night. And pregame show, what time tomorrow?
We go 6:30 for tomorrow's game, and we'll see if the Oilers can make it six in a row.
Six in a row, where you know the Oilers haven't had. What's interesting is the long winning streaks of seven plus games. They haven't had many, you know. Also, we'll see if the Oilers can extract. Obviously, they got to get to six first, but can they potentially stretch it to seven? We'll find out. Tom, have yourself a wonderful weekend.
You too, my friend. See you, Greg.